Hi, this is Alexis Brown. I'm here at Cut to the Chase. I am a transformational creator, and I am delighted to be here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase. This is your host, Gregory Proctor, and welcome to episode 53, Past, Present, and Future. Stop worrying, people. Sometimes we consider ourselves living in the past when we should be living in the present. And then sometimes people are looking from the present into the future and getting ahead of themselves. And so, as everybody is fully aware, I always have some type of just quote that really kind of ties the glue to each and every program. And so today I found a quote that basically says, stop worrying about what can go wrong and get excited about what can go right. And so today I have brought on the transformational creator. That's right, people, the transformational creator. She's a good friend. We've welcomed her into the Cut to the Chase family. And I must tell you, I'm going to have to do this one upgrade because I just love her energy. I love her passion. I love her charisma, just everything about her from the time that I've met her. It just really, really clicked with me. And so today, to our listeners, our special guest is Miss Alexis Brown, a forthcoming author, speaker, and certified transformational coach. She assists people who are overwhelmed by life's demands and who are stuck in patterns that prevent them from having a life that they desire to transform themselves easily and effortless. Alexis initially pursued her career in medical science as a histologist at the Byron Morrow in Pennsylvania. Fascinated with science research, body and mind, and connection, she developed a long passion for examining how the subconscious profoundly affects the physical body, behaviors, patterns, and overall quality of life. At the World Institute Center for Rights of Humanity in Arizona, she acquired a comprehensive understanding of empowerment of listening, which then compelled her to study at Coach U Self-Image and Relationship Coach Program. She continued her training in the healing arts and then became a certified theater healer, DNA 1 and DNA 2, Intuitive Anatomy, and Think Through Institute in Idaho, which is another great thing because, you know, everybody knows I've lived in Idaho and I love that place. Just love Yellowstone. Just love it. Soon after, she included ETF, which most people, that's not electronic transfer, which when I read that the first time, I was like, whoa, wow, I'd never heard of that acronym, but it was rather unique. So EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. She later studied the holistic kinesiology in New Mexico, interning with Dr. Dune. And lastly, she believes that meditation is something that we should all take very seriously. I'm hoping that she can help me with that and me and my busy schedule and so forth and so on. She's a beautiful lady, fun-loving. She loves fine wine, great conversation. And with all other things, we must say that she is a proud and most cherished grandma. And so, Alexis, sometimes people say, Greg, you don't do a good job of interviewing me. So before we get into the questions, are there any opening remarks?
No, I'm delighted to be here. I love the topic. I love this show. I love what I do. And I think now more than ever is the topic is quite appropriate with where we are globally right now with the pandemic. Worrying does nothing but shuts down the creative process in the brain. And when we need to step out of the box and be real creative, we can't.
Right. Totally agree with you. Certainly, you know, as we jump into our questions here, you know, the first thing that I'd like to ask is if you could provide our audience with kind of a little bit of clarity. You know, there's there's all types of life coaches and business coaches, and just so many. Seems like the coaching market has just predominantly taken over the media lately. And so as being a transformational coach, what exactly is that?
Okay, well, that's why I like to call myself a transformational creator. Okay. Yes, I am a coach. And I've been one for almost 20, well, actually this spring will be 20 years. And so I don't motivate people. I don't inspire people, because motivation and inspiration are temporary. Someone can read a book, they can take a class, they can, you know, listen to someone talk, and man, they're now ready. They're going to get moving. They're inspired. They want to move on to whatever it is that they read the book or took the class for. But that wears off. That's temporary. The reason I call myself a transformational creator is because I transform people. That's permanent. When I work with someone, it's like boot camp. I interview people very, very extensively to make sure that they're truly ready and willing to do the work to transform. Because the only way that you are going to last in, because what I do is I transform an identity. I don't go back in the past. We don't do an archaeological dig into the past. We go from today forward. We're going to create a new identity from here forward. And that's where the transformation comes.
Okay. Thank you. One of the things as people getting a little bit of feedback from your end, one of the things that we've noticed is that a lot of times people, they tend to live somewhat in the past, and you know, they can never get out of that rut. So when you make mention that you try and have people start from the present day and move themselves forward, what are some of the things that you kind of help reiterate so that people don't automatically revert back in the past? Because in a lot of cases, you know, I even find myself saying, hey, do you remember when? And, you know, these were the good times. And as you try to think about those in present tense, you're really talking about things that have happened in the past, but they're past tense. They're probably the likelihood of them ever happening again that way is null and void. So what are some of those things that you try and do to help people get beyond the past?
Well, the whole thing, Gregory, is about reprogramming, so to speak. From the time we are in the womb forward, our subconscious is taking things in. And so we just have all of this information, our instincts, our experiences, and our intuitive hits. All of it comes from our subconscious. We operate 95% of our time. We make decisions from the subconscious. 5% from the conscious. And so the conscious is basically our wishes and desires, the things we want in life. But the conscious mind is always traveling. If I were to ask you, what did you do last Wednesday? You can disconnect, go back, think about it. Oh, I did this, this, and this. What are you going to do next Wednesday? You can go forward. The subconscious is in the present moment 24/7. It doesn't have a past. It doesn't have a future. If I could ask your subconscious, when did you learn to walk? It would say today. It doesn't have a timeline. It just knows the program. And so the whole idea with what I do is I'm giving exercises, I'm giving you work, and I'm giving you daily reminders, and you will probably be hearing from me just like a sergeant. Are you in your old identity or are you in your new identity? Because our old identity is our past. The new identity is from here forward. And so it's just a series of exercises. And basically what I'm doing is I'm training you to be aware of where you are operating from. Even though I'm a coach and I teach this and I work with people, I still sometimes get tripped up in my old identity. I grew up with abandonment issues. And so every once in a while, I need to be careful. Somebody starts pulling back from me. I immediately, go into that, okay, what's going on here? And I can feel the anxiety a little bit, but I'm aware of it now. And it's like, no, we're not going there. We're moving forward. And so it's mostly keeping people aware with meditations, with exercises. I do recodes. I do live stream, because all the work that I do, I mostly now I do one-on-one coaching. I don't do a lot of it. I mostly do group coaching. And so all of my coaching is done. I have a free Facebook group, and I have then I have the elite for the people who really want to get down and do the boot camp and have a sergeant.
Right. So the desire of transformation comes down to, like you said, one is a commitment from oneself that they need to, as I would say, step up to the plate and be in a position of willingness to commit, because you've indicated that you kind of run this like a boot camp, and you know, obviously for me, boot camp was a very harsh time when I was in the Navy in Great Lakes, and all the push-ups and sit-ups and everything you could do out in the middle of the winter wasn't really desirable. But in the context of this desire transformation, how do clients approach it in such a way with you that they are motivated to deal with, you know, the dynamics of change in a way that the outcome provides them with the positive result that they're looking for? Because some people get into it and, you know, you get into a program and let's just be frank, you know, three quarters of the way it gets tough and they go, well, I can't continue. I want to get out. I mean, what are some of the things that you do there to kind of ensure that you're able to help kind of keep them motivated and pushing them forward in a manner that allows for them to be successful?
Well, I'm constantly reminding them to because what starts to happen is number one, when we reach that point, that's when most people quit, but that's when most of the growth is happening. And so I always remind people, it's kind of like you plant a tree into a pot, and then this thing, I mean, you feed it well and you give it lots of light and you give it lots of water and you give it lots of love, and this thing is growing like crazy. And the next thing you know, it's growing out of the pot, the pot's breaking and whatever, and it's because of all the growth. So I like to tell people, sometimes it's chaos before order. You know, sometimes it just, when you get to that point and things will happen and you think, oh my God, I'm working on my life getting better and this is showing up and that's showing up and this is happening. That means that there's movement. That means that you're breaking through. I can remember my son when he was 22, 23 years old. And my son is 6'3". He's long and lean. He wanted to be a performing artist, but he thought he would get through the door as a model for an agency hired him. He went down to Miami and we talked about, you know, his plans and a game plan and whatnot. And he calls me 3 months later and he's like, nothing's going right. And this is happening. And this is happening. I can't believe this. All the plans that I made. And I said, what's the matter, Seth? It doesn't look like you pictured it. Have you ever thought that when you get to where you truly want to go, if you think these are big problems, just wait. And if you can't handle these, how are you going to handle the big ones? And so a lot of times life will throw, we say, this is what I want. And the universe says, okay, if this is what you want, this is what you're going to have to, these are the hurdles or these are the lessons or these are the challenges and these are the obstacles that you're going to have to go through to get to this point here. Because what happens is we have an identity and it's present day. Where you are right now and who you are is an identity. You've had this identity to get you to this point. But most people are saying, I really don't like being here. I want to be here. And it's that future place that they dream of. And so, but here's the thing. That future place that they dream of, whether it's the career, whether it's that home on the beach, whether it's you know, the car or the great guy or the great woman or the kids or whatever. That's not really what they're desiring. What they're desiring is the feelings that those things will give them. That's the true desire. And so what most people do is they try to go move into the future with their present identity. Now, what happens is that present identity, they're taking with them all that baggage and all that stuff. So if they make it to that future, they still have those issues and probably even more, which creates even more difficulty and more challenge. But what truly happens is when to get to that future place, you want to create a new identity so that you don't take the old identity. Well, the old identity has been with you 40 years, 50 years, 30 years, however long, however old you are, it really doesn't want to let go. And so you start to move forward and it's going to pull you back and you start to move forward. So most people oscillate. And what happens is they get tired of the oscillation and they give up. And so with this program, it's about keeping them, you are going to oscillate, but it's for me, it's for keeping them moving forward. Keep that forward focus. Just keep going. Just keep going. And so what we do is we create that future feeling in the present moment because the present moment is the attraction point. And so if this is what you want, because that's how it's going to make you feel, we're going to create that right here and right now. So two things are going to happen. You're not going to be obsessed about getting here. So you're going to be able to relax in the present moment. So, and if you're already feeling the future moment in the present moment, and that's the attraction point, what are you going to start attracting to you, to yourself? All of the things that you desire. And so that's the magic that happens with the transformational work.
Right, right. Yeah, as I was listening to you talk, you know, I recall kind of an old saying that my mom would always say to me, you know, you're more than welcome, son, but just make sure you leave any baggage at the door. And of course, back then, you know, when I was a teenager or, you know, a young adolescent and, you know, having a crush on, you know, a neighborhood girl or something like that, my mom was always very regimented when it came to ensuring that respect and dignity and really the focus of that, like you said, that positivity that was carried in the house. Because if people didn't say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, you know, and that respect wasn't there, she really didn't want to have anything to do with them. And so when she would always say to me, you're more than welcome, son, you know, they're more than welcome, just make sure they leave the baggage at the door. You know, it kind of resonated with me when you were mentioning, you know, the desire to transform and be able to move forward. But you're absolutely right. And you know, it's all these things that are holding you back. It's like a, like you said, that subconscious extremity is saying, no, I don't want you to advance. I want you to stay right here. Because is it a sense that we feel comfortable in that space of turmoil? Or is it a sense of something that, you know, subconsciously, we're just not wanting to let go because we're in fear of the change? And even now with COVID going on, everyone's having to let go of a lot of things that they've felt comfortable with, mm-hmm. and they've got to do things differently. But a lot of people are still saying, I want to go back to the norm. Well, there may not be a norm. There may not be the way it ever was. So what are some of your thoughts there?
Well, one of the biggest fears that people have is the fear of the unknown. And so a lot of times, even if people aren't happy with where they are, they're comfortable there because they know what to expect. They know how they're going to react. They know how they're going to feel. They know what's going to show up. The drama. There's two major things that's happened. That, and also, whenever we have it, it doesn't matter what kind of a trauma it is, whether it's a small T or a big T trauma. Depending on, you know, how deep or how traumatic the experience, it creates a change. Our brain immediately takes a snapshot of that moment in time and embeds it into our brain. We call that long-term memory. And so because whenever we have a trauma, even if it's a small T, you know, some parent, you know, they're stressed out, they've had enough, they've got four kids, maybe they can't pay the bills and they got the whatever going on, and they take it out on one of the kids, they scream at them, they shake them or whatever, and tell them they're bad or tell them whatever, that gets embedded. It's a small T trauma. And so whenever we have a trauma, we revisit it because we're trying to process, we're trying to make sense of what just happened. But every time that we do that, our body releases up to 1,200 chemicals into our system. They're acid-producing chemicals. And throughout life, we have all of these traumas. So if you've got somebody who's living in a really dramatic and traumatic environment, they're constantly dropping these chemicals into their system. And so what happens is our bodies become addicted to those chemicals. So on top of the subconscious and that oscillating with the identity, you know, you're going along and working on this self-help program and trying to move forward, and you're just skipping along, and all of a sudden your body's saying, wait a minute, where's my fix? Where are my chemicals? And so you'll self-sabotage. Because those chemicals in that body create a feeling, which creates a thought, which creates a feeling, and now you're in this loop, and the subconscious is now also being involved. So it's kind of a double-edged sword that's going on here. And so, but that's the work. You're breaking the subconscious addiction. You're breaking a biochemical addiction. It's not easy. It is not easy. People say, "Oh, just get over it." Okay. Okay. And so it is not easy. And I let people know that it isn't easy. I totally and completely respect people's fears, people's challenges, and people's obstacles. They're very real. Like somebody said to me the other day, she got a call. She's just started dating, and she hadn't heard from the guy for a while. And finally he texted her, and she texts me, and she goes, he finally texted me. She said, it completely turned my day around. And she was making a joke, and she said, I'm so pathetic. I laughed, and I sent her a text back with a laughing face, but I said, no, you're not. Dating is hard.
Right.
No, I mean, all of this stuff. So we have to let ourselves off the hook. But at the same time, we have to want it bad enough and be willing to do the work to keep moving forward. We can't take ourselves so seriously that we beat ourselves up every time we make a mistake. In fact, I just put a post not too long ago on my Facebook. No matter the challenge, no matter the obstacle, no matter how hard you get knocked down, get up. Just right. Get up and keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And so that's
so relatable. I mean, I'm sitting here as a person that used to be an avid runner when you're talking about the chemicals and just, you know, the natural high that I get from running when I used to enjoy running, 5Ks and 10Ks back when I was a lot younger than I am today. But, the same aspect has kind of transitioned where for me, at least at this stage of my life, you know, maintaining three companies and just being a workaholic, you know, it's that addiction of trying to balance, you know, work-life balance and having downtime and R&R and all those different variations of things, which are extremely important also. And of course, not being worried when I'm not behind a computer or doing something that is work-related. And so certainly can relate with that and understanding how the body reacts to those things and some of the do's and don'ts, which are all embodying what we're talking about today, is, you know, the essence of worrying and the anxiety behind that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, So now that we're in this, I kind of use this word loosely, the tranche of COVID and the unprecedented times and just the sure fact that so many people have been affected, you know, indirectly, you know, directly, you know, adversely, you know, life changing. Some have become creative. Some have lost their creativity. I mean, what are some of the recommendations as you consider where we stand today from a equality and humanity and should I say empathetic means of what is important in your teachings and philosophies and coaching that people should consider adopting before we go into FY21? Because it's been a hard year. And I think everybody's wanting to transform into a superpower or something that says, hey, can I make this go away or can I take this year off? And before I let you answer that question, I just want to say, to me, it's even been a more significant iconic year because I turned 50 this year in the middle of this pandemic. And it's kind of like I say to myself, I worried about it because I couldn't have a party. My wife and family couldn't be around me. Well, my wife could be around me, but, you know, my family couldn't be around me because we're all in different states. But I say to myself, it's like, I'm still 49.
Lucky you.
Yeah. So what would be some of the recommendations that, you know, as you're thinking about, you know, the possibility of there is maybe a person or two, or maybe it could be the whole congregation. I mean, our podcast is being listened to in 11 countries now. What would be some of the things? Because I mean, everybody, you know, and here's why I'm bringing this up, Alexis, and this is why we're having so much fun with this conversation. I'm really enjoying it. It's because the number one fallacy that people do at the end of the year is that they set a New Year resolution, and I I'm guilty of it too. At least I used to be guilty of it, you know, certainly in the past. And now when people ask me, well, what's your New Year's? Well, I don't have one. I mean, my focus is to complete the goals that I've got set for myself every 30 days. But, you know, to think about what's going to happen from January to December, who knows? I mean, there's so many things that can adversely shift that. But the reason why I'm asking this question as to what would be some of your thoughts or insight towards providing to these folks is because we typically, traditionally, we go through the same cyclical cycles at this time of the year, and this year is entirely different. So, I mean, it's like we're all requiring that change. We're requiring that transformation. We're requiring something different. And what do you think that difference would be at this point in time if they are looking to transform?
I think the biggest difference is to relax and accept. But here's the thing. We will never go back to what we knew. It will never be the same. It will not ever be the same. It will be a new norm. For how long? I don't know. But life is about change. Energy is always moving. Energy is always changing. Everything in this vast universe, including our bodies, all the way down to the deepest levels of ourselves, we're energy beings. And so I always try to remind people that we really have there. Ram Dass, who was a well-known monk, used to ask people a question: what is the reason for the smirk on the Buddha? Because he always, you know, whenever you see the Buddha, he's got like this smirk on his face. And finally, he answered the question, and it's kind of like a riddle. We all have free choice, and our choice is made for us. Mm-hmm. And so we can't control anything. And trust me, I am a recovering control freak. I tried controlling everything in my life at one point. Mm-hmm. We really don't have control of anything except for one thing. And that's how we look at something, how we perceive something, how we feel about something. That is the only true choice that we have.
Right.
So if it's raining outside, I can either choose to be bummed by that rain, or I can choose to say, okay, you know what? It's raining. I think I'll rearrange my day. I'm going to light a candle. I'm going to make myself a cup of tea. And today's going to be a day I'm going to read a good book. Or maybe someone's happy because something was canceled that they didn't want to do. It really doesn't matter. But that is the only thing we have it truly control over, is how we perceive something. And so I tell people, and I know we've heard it, read about it, it's sort of been a popular thing, is, and that's gratitude, being grateful. And I truly do encourage people, either first thing in the morning, at the end of the day, you can do it before you go to bed. I do it at the end of my work day. I write down 5 things that I'm grateful for. I don't talk about anything that science, because I have a medical science background. I am very left-brained. And so I want to know that the proof is there whenever I teach somebody or I talk about something. But neuroscience has shown us, just by asking the question, what do I have to be grateful for, immediately starts to change your brain chemistry. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. And it changes it in a positive way. So when you start getting in the habit and thinking about what you are grateful for, you're changing your body chemistry. And you're changing it more to an alkaline chemistry, which is the feel-good hormones and the feel-good chemicals. And it's also, believe it or not, the more youthful chemicals. I'm vain. So anything that will make me look and feel better and look younger, I'm all for it. So I'm always trying to put those there. So
Well, if there's any consolation, as long as your husband doesn't beat me up, the youngness is resonating on your IG account. There you go.
Oh, okay, great. But I also tell people, in the beginning of the day, set the intention. Mm-hmm. Set the intention. You know, is it to feel joyful? Is it to feel peaceful? Is it to feel relaxed? Maybe it's to feel focused. Maybe it's to feel playful. Maybe it's to feel connected or communicative. You know, maybe it's a combination of those two things. Maybe it's to be organized, whatever. Set the intention for the day and put it somewhere so that you can always remind yourself. We always need to be reminded, because life happens. And just to keep reminding yourself of how you want to feel, not what you want to do. We need to get away from the doing part. Yes, we have things to do. But it is our emotions that create our biology. And it is our emotions that create the life that we truly want. There again, science shows us these things. And so what we need to do is to be acutely aware of how we are thinking, because that creates the feelings, how we are feeling, and do we want... Because all of those feelings are what keeps us anchored to the past. And so we want to be aware, do we want those in the future?
Mm-hmm.
And the more you become aware, the more you become aware, and the more you become aware. And eventually what'll happen is you'll have a feeling and you think, oh, I really don't want to be here.
Right. Right. Great, great, certainly great insight, which kind of leads me into another quote that I had pulled together, which basically states, worrying is like a waste of time. It doesn't change anything. It messes with your mind and steals your happiness. And so, Alexis, this has been an honor for us to spend this quality time with you and gather all of this nurturing information on transformational experience and transformational coaching, and of course you being the transformational creator. Are there any final remarks that you would have for our listeners?
So I have a quote that I wrote 12 to 15 years ago, I guess, because I truly believe that we all come here with a purpose. And the quote is, who we are to become is already within us, awaiting the belief for which it can be expressed. And so think about that, because that's how you create a new identity, and that's how you begin to transform.
Wow. That was very deep. You're going to have to email me that one.
I will. I'll be happy to.
Yeah. Well, certainly, this has been a joy. This has been a delight. We've had so much fun listening to you and speaking on things at this point in time. It is crucial in the circumstance that we're in, not only here in America, but worldwide. And the fact of what people are worrying about, whether it's past, present, or future, we all need to kind of stop worrying and really think about what we are attracting. That was something that you left with me from our discovery call, which was just so important to kind of, to reflect on, is, what we think and how we act, and the energy that we put out there in the world is kind of what we attract back to ourselves, and having our minds focus on the things that provide that positivity, as well as enable the transformation, not to carry that baggage, as my mom would say, are things that help us heal, and they help us ensure that we have a more prosperous life as we move forward. And so with those closing remarks, folks, this has been episode 53. Past, present, and future, stop worrying. We have had a great time with the transformational creator. And before we go, Alexis, if anybody wants to reach out to you for coaching services, how can they do that?
Just email me at alexis@journeywithalexis.com.
Perfect. Well, Alexis, thank you very much. To our listeners, everyone, holidays are just around the corner. Please be safe, be considerate, and for all intensive purposes, let's wish you a happy and safe Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year. And listen to episode 53. There was some good stuff in here.
Thank you.
Okay, Gregory. Everyone.
It's fun. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye.